Well, happy Mother's Day. I never can just keep in step with tradition, so we don't really have a Mother's Day message today. I tried. I struggled with it, but it didn't happen. Not that I don't have an appreciation for that, Lori and Mama, if you're listening on the internet. And usually, you know, what happens is I just end up working it into the message, you know. Because when we get on a series, I just don't want to let go of it. I got to keep on going. But I'm a little haphazard this week. And I'm fully aware that what we're going to talk about today is not fully developed. Okay, so show me a little mercy today as we go through this. There's not as much scripture. There's not as much thorough study as I would like to have. This really is just sharing what's been on my heart this week. And I could not bring it all together to in the form of a real teaching. So there's all my, what do you call those excuse things that I use? My, you know, the prerequisite things. I can't think of the name I'm looking for. So let's pray, and we'll see what happens. Lord, we do, we look to you. Lord, we know that you have a purpose and a plan for us today. Lord, I pray that we would keep in step with your spirit this morning. I pray, Lord, that somehow that each person, we know that each one of us here today, you have a purpose and that you have something for us if we rely on you. So, Lord, I ask that you would plow the hearts and that you would open our eyes to see you more clearly. I pray, Lord, we would not throw up any barriers like we tend to do. So we rely on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, in our study of the body, last week we talked about a little bit about what is the standard for this body. And we looked at a lot of the different one another's of honor one another, respect one another, hold one another accountable, all those things. And we boiled all that down to a foundational love one another. But where we spent our time was how to love one another. How in the world can we do that? How can we follow through on that high standard of love each other as Christ loves you? And we looked at the only way to do that is to abide in Christ, to remain in Him, to tarry in Him, to walk in His presence. And I kind of stuck with that theme a little bit today. You know, we looked at that desire that we have for God. Once we know what it's like to have fellowship with God, to walk with Him, to walk in His presence, to be in connection with Him, it's not something we want to give up. So when sin comes and separates us from that fellowship with God, if we have been walking with God, if we know what it's like to abide in Him, we will have a disdain, a hatred for sin in our lives. And we will deal with it quickly. And this is something that abiding does, because abiding always produces fruit, produces a righteous life, produces the ability to love one another, produces joy. It produces that fruit when we are connected to the vine. So we're going to carry on just a little bit with that today. I have a verse there on your outline that's Ephesians 2:19, but let's go first to Psalm 84. And as I read this verse, or this chapter really, this struck me as speaking to abiding, to staying connected. You know, in the Old Testament, things were a bit different. When the Holy Spirit would come on somebody for some specific purpose or some task, He did not stay. He would leave. And the presence of God, the permanent place of the residence, of the place of the presence of God was in the temple. In the Holy of Holies was where God resided. And so these people that would write, these men that would write in the Psalms, particularly David, would just have this yearning and this desire for the temple. But it was not for the temple. It was to be in the presence of God. And this is the same as what we have available to us. We know this, but it's what we have available to us all the time, if we are in a right relationship with God. So this speaks to this, but I'm going to add to that a little bit. But first, think about this in relation to abiding in Christ. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, on the pilgrimage of walking in step with the Spirit, of abiding in Christ, of walking in fellowship with Him. And it is a pilgrimage, and there is no pilgrimage that does not require sacrifice. And in this instance, death. Death to self. Let's go on to verse 7. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And down to verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. You know, almost every time I read or think about abiding, I think of Richard Wurmbrand, that David Witt from Voice of the Martyrs shared with the pastor from Romania that was thrown in. He spent 17 years in prison, and a lot of that time was in a hole, in dark, on a concrete cold slab, and that's it. A bucket in the corner, if you get my drift. Nothing. And, of course, he went through this travail, this struggle, this, can I do this? And he came to the place of relying on God. His circumstances did not change. In fact, the only people that he would see were the guards that would come in and beat him and then throw some food on the floor. And he came to the place of peace and joy with God, of relying completely on Him. And I always think about Him when I look at these verses on abiding. And I think that it was not Him, that that is possible for me and it's possible for you, that we can abide in Him. Not because of our strength. In fact, it's because of our weakness. When we know we are weak, when we really, you see, some people will say I'm weak, but really, their focus is still on themselves. But when your focus is really on Him, and you really understand your weakness, that is when you can rely and abide and have fellowship with Him. But where I want to go with this today is not just abiding, but to look at these verses as they apply to remaining in the body. Because we're not in this alone. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 19. 19 through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole body, the whole building, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. You see, God lives in us completely and fully, but He also lives in us together as His body. And He wants us to, just as He wants us to remain in the vine, in Him, He too wants us to remain in the refuge of the body, in right relationship with the body. Because if we do not remain in the body, then we cannot remain abiding in Him indefinitely. So let's go to another verse. Psalm 91. And Randy gave this one to me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. But he pointed something out there that He is our fortress. But if we do not come in, we do not get the benefits of that fortress. And there are some things about coming in to be within the fortress of God. It's free. It's grace. But it's also the cross. We come in by way of the cross, and we continue to come in, and we must leave self at the door. So it cost us to remain abiding in Him and to remain in the refuge of the body. You see, within the body, and if His Spirit dwells in us as a whole and in us individually, which I cannot fully explain that to you, but that is what the Word tells us, so that is the way that it is. Then to get the full benefits of abiding and the protection of abiding, then we must be within the refuge of the body. And that's the way that He designed it. Now, some of these things that we're going to talk about, as I said before, we should spend a whole message on some of these things. So I'm going to leave something out. I'm sure things will come to your mind on this that we're not going to be able to deal with. But to have the full protection of the body, you see, God designed a protection for you to keep you abiding. That's designed into the body. So you must be in the refuge to have it. Let's read on just a little bit there in Psalm 91. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. You see, God's representative, the representative of Christ in this world, is what? It's the body. It's not called the body for nothing. It's the body of Christ. And we must be in to have the full benefits of the refuge and the full protection to keep us abiding. So what are the things that you get from the body? What are the things by being connect? And you know, since we did that first lesson on not just dating the church, but marrying the church, having both feet in. So to get the full protection of the body requires that. The things we get that keep us abiding. One very basic thing we get is regular, consistent teaching. And not just teaching for anybody, it's teaching for you. It's teaching for you. Because you're in a body that's operating, following the head, and hopefully that's what we're doing, and bodies, other bodies around the country are doing, that you're in a local body that's following the head. This is the system that Jesus chose to continue to keep us abiding, continue to keep us walking with Him. Consistent teaching. That is designed for you. You remember, there should be someone specifically praying for you as a part of the preparation to teach. Whoever is teaching. It's not just... Now, you know the way we look at this, and we'll go into more detail about this later. This is not... We know this. This is not a pastor-run church. It's an elder. It's an elder, a plurality of leadership run church. So when I say leadership, that's what I mean. I don't mean one guy and his opinions running everything. It means a plurality of leadership looking to the head and following His instruction and His direction. So when I say shepherd, that's what I mean. Shepherds, plural. And that your name should be called to God to prepare you for what God has for you and to ask God, what do you have? What do you have? Specifically, so it's necessary to be connected, vitally connected. And that's one of the things that we get. There's a pattern. Paul told Timothy to the pattern of teaching I left you to pass on. You are a part of the pattern of teaching There's a pattern of teaching in this church that's not matched in any other church. And you are specifically and called to this body for that reason. And there's a pattern of teaching that you get and that you have that you can carry on with and be a part of. There is the spurring on to spend time with God. You know, we tend to drift and drift and drift. Unless somebody's saying, let's get going. You've been spending time with the Lord. How's your, you've been in the Word? How's your prayer life? What's going on? Share with me. What's your walk with God? What's it like? What's going on? That is a part of the body. That's one of the benefits. Accountability. That, what I just mentioned, was accountability, but also encouragement. You know, to have accountability, it doesn't matter which body you belong to. It's something you must seek and want if it's going to work. Nobody can force accountability on you. Now, I am thankful. I know any time in the past, and we'll do a full lesson on accountability, I'm sure, before we get through this. But any time in the past I've ever taught on accountability, it always bothers people. Oh, well. It does. It always gets somebody's dander up. But I am so thankful for accountability. One Sunday night before Bible study, I was sitting at my desk and I was feeling a little down. I was struggling. And so in walks one of the elders into my office and upstairs and shared with me. At first from their own trying to help me change my perspective on things, I believe. Saying, you know, Steve, God's been dealing with me on something that this is not my church. This is God's church. And I'm going, oh, I think I'm about to get a rebuke. And he said, we need to take that to heart. You know, this is not our load to carry. This is God's church. And then my rebuke got a little more specific. And he said, you know that verse, rejoice in the Lord always? That's a command. It was not said as a joke. It was not said in jest. It was not even said with a smile. It was said, that's a command. Rejoice always. See you later. And I said, wow, who is he to sell that to me? That was my first thought. You know, that was my first thought. But I said, I got a choice to make. You know, I got a choice to make. Because I have the Spirit of God in me. I can choose to rejoice. And I can walk downstairs, and I can sour the room, and I can carry this out there, and we can do nothing tonight. I can teach in my own strength. Or I can rejoice in God, and I can trust Him. I'll take that rebuke to heart. Thank you, Lord. I really appreciate that. Because you know what? I stepped out of the room, and I began to rejoice. Honest, not because I'm so strong and I can control my emotions. I can't. I began to rejoice. And I just had a great evening. Just interacting, and it was good. And I thought, wow, I could have just wallowed in that. But I had a good little rebuke, a little kick in the pants, and I really appreciated it. And I thanked him for it later. So I appreciate, that was one of my minor, you know, y'all don't really, we hold each other accountable. Those guys, I've had much more severe rebukes than that, that I won't tell you about. I have. And I've given them too. I think I've received more than I've given though in the last year or so. There's encouragement. There's spiritual protection in the body. Think about this. The protection that you have in the body, because we are promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Are you a part of the church? Are you in the church with both feet? If you are in the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, are you outside of the protection of the church? You just have one foot in the door. Then you may not be in the protection of the church where God desires you to be. There are shepherds. There are shepherds that have a job. Those shepherds protect, admonish, warn, and comfort. And they have charge over you in the Lord. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Do you know, and you know this, but the shepherds, the ones that we say, this guy's an elder, and we lay hands on him, and we say, we commit him to the Lord's work, and we all as a body, and as a body, in unity, agree with this, and we have done that. And we say, this man is a shepherd. He has charge over my soul. And not only that, the body looks to God and says, you hold him accountable, God. He's going to stand before you and you hold him accountable. And you ask him someday, did you warn them? Did you teach them? Did you rebuke them? Did you encourage them? Did you challenge them? Did you spur them on? Or did you bow and please them and not please me? That I will hear. Ken will hear it. Carlton will hear it. It's not a light thing. It is not a light thing. We all will stand before God. You are accountable for everything. But there is a special accountability. It's not that I am called on to live any more holy life than you are. We all are called to bear fruit. But yet there is a special accountability that comes with the job. And we need to be aware of that. Now we all do this for one another. We all are to hold each other accountable. But true shepherds have a responsibility to watch over your soul. The reason we even went down this road and came to this was I started with the protection of the body. That's what God was dealing with me on this week. The protection that we have in the body to keep us abiding, to keep us living a holy life, to keep us in fellowship with God. To run away from a shepherd's care or to hide behind a bush like a sheep might do, that's avoiding the shepherd. It's a dangerous activity. It's a dangerous thing to run from the care of the one that has charge, the ones, plural, that have charge over your soul. Let's go to Hebrews 13:17. You know, I don't really know how the church got to this place of having a pastor of this one man, a bishop, a priest, a reverend, one man that would call the shot and lead the church. Every place you see, it's obey your leaders, your elders. And to give these men titles, you know, even the title pastor, I question at times. And to give Reverend, the Reverend Steve Lane. What a joke. You didn't see that. You don't see the Reverend, the Pastor James, you know, or these guys that are in the New Testament church. They were servants. They were servants. But we've done this reverse thing. We've given these spiritual leaders titles and respect and superficial honor, but yet we've taken away their real power to speak into the life and to rebuke and to correct and to defend and to admonish and to help. We've taken away their real power that is given by God and their real responsibility of charge over the souls of the flock. So we've done this reverse thing. We've kind of elevated them to some sort of pedestal, yet taken away their true spiritual responsibility. I do not understand that. Except it is an appeal from both sides. It's an appeal to a man to be put on a pedestal, to give given a title, and have some kind of great qualifications you're supposed to be outside of Scripture. There are some great qualifications. And it's the appeal to the body, because somebody else can do the work. Let's hire this guy. He'll do our work. We'll show him respect and honor. He'll like that. He'll lead us. He'll do the work. where it takes the responsibility off of us. Anyway. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. That burden is other words that are used in the different translations is that it would not be grief. It would not be a groaning. It would not be a weight. And when it gets to that, there would be of no advantage to you. That's like a, it's kind of an understatement. It's sort of like if somebody built this fantastic and awesome house and it was just, and they come and show it to you and you go, oh yeah, it's okay. And you're making a joke, kind of. You're just because you know this thing is awesome. And that's the same sort of, same sort of thing that the writer is doing here. It would be of no advantage to you. That's an understatement. It would be of great evil and detriment to you if you do not allow the shepherds appointed by God, approved by you, to have this authority and to have this charge over your souls. Once again, we do not have all these titles and all these things that somebody gets put on a pedestal and gets tempted by reputation and respect. These words, grief, a groaning, a burden, refer to a deep spiritual hurt that can cause a man to run from rather than to carry it. This is the response. Do you remember Moses? When he responded, oh God, I cannot carry these people any longer. He cried out in grief and anguish to God. That is the response of a man that is shepherding and where shepherding is turned away and is refused. That's the response. He wants to run from his responsibility. It's an important aspect of protection that there are shepherds in the body that are take their job seriously, and that the body obeys, that the body submits to. But it requires listening and obeying. The other thing that the body does for us, it makes us useful in the kingdom, which protects us from apathy. If we are useful in the kingdom, and we have a purpose, and we have a job. You see, with the body, you're not just some individual out there planting a seed here and planting a seed there. But when you are fully connected and engaged with the body, then you are a part of the clearing of the forest, the tilling of the ground, the planting of the seed, the fertilizing, the watering, the weeding, the harvesting, and the reseeding. You're a part of and contribute to the whole process. But of course, something is required to be fully vested. You know that if you ever work for a big company, you get vested after a while. You know, you get how many years in, you get this and that, and you get all this, and then you get vested. You get all the full benefit of that company. You know, whether it's the insurance and the retirement and all that stuff. Well, there's some requirements to be fully vested in the body to get all of the benefits. All of the protection of the body. And believe me, I'm not joking. If you're not under the protection of a body, if you're not fully vested, then you are in dangerous territory. You think you can hold off. You may feel strong, or you feel like you can be independent. You can do this. You can hold off the attacks of the enemy. You think you see them coming, but you do not see them coming. He is trickery and deceit, and he will take you out. And you'll fall by the own lust and desires of your own flesh if you do not become fully vested in the body. It is a refuge. It is the refuge of God. It's his refuge in the New Testament. He is our refuge. What is his refuge? It's the church. It's the body. And he desires us to be fully vested and protected. It's more than just being in the habit of attending. It's being married. It's being committed to it. In unity with the purpose and the way of accomplishing what God has called a specific body to, even if you are of a different opinion. Oh my goodness, that's heresy to the United States and our independent spirit, that we would not stand on our opinion and rebel. If God has led a body to move in a certain direction, He's done that through the leadership of the body. And we have a different opinion of how and why this is done. You know what? Unless we can back it with Scripture, and we need to do that as an individual, we are responsible. If a body is moving in a way opposing to Scripture, then we are responsible to stand up by ourselves and say, you guys are wrong. You elders are wrong. Look at what the Word says. If you cannot do that, then there is a submission of your opinion to the direction that God has called a body to move in and to go in. So you can see, choosing a church is an important thing. You know, did you think about all this when you put these guys in leadership? Will you be careful next time? Be careful who you put in leadership. You look over those qualifications. He has charge over your soul. He has some authority in your life. You need to be careful who you... You need to be careful what church you become a part of. And I'm not advocating church hopping by any means. We need to find a body and commit to it. But there is a thing of reassessing and saying, is this the body that I can be a part of? Is this the body? Can I go in this direction? Do I have confidence in the leadership? Do they qualify according to the Scripture? Am I willing to submit? And we reassess and say, now we have to, there's no excuse to not be a part of a body unless you're in a hole in the ground and you can't get out. So where a church is headed and what that church is important, because we don't have the option of just staying and hanging around and then criticizing everything the church does. We don't have that option. Or we don't have the option of just staying and saying, wow, they sure could do this different. Wow, this ought to be done different. We don't have that option. We get fully vested. If we can't get fully vested, then we, my opinion is that we find a body. Now, there's no body's going to be perfect. And so, if you're looking for the, happen to be looking for the perfect church, then it's going to be a long search. You won't find it. But you can. God, if God has you placed in a certain area, if it's in Brunswick, Georgia, or if it's in Salt Lake City, then there's a body for you. He just wants you to be fully vested in a body, even if it's not the perfect body. To be in unity with a church that is following the head, that's what we want. We want to be in unity with a church, a body that is following, and with every decision and every step, Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? Show us in your word. Give us direction. But to follow and yield, to be in a body that is yielding to the head requires a heart that is yielded and submitted to God. If you are not submitted to God, you will find it a great burden to be in a body that is following the head. It will be a great burden and a stress to you, because you yourself need to yield to the head and you need to submit your will to God and to each other not just to leadership. We need to submit to each other. Now, this is not about a priority list of what's most important in your life. Okay, we have God, we have my family, we have the church, we have my job. That's not how it works. We kick self out of the center of our life, and we put God square in the center of our life. Everything's about God. Everything's about God. What I do this weekend, when I get up in the morning, what I do this evening, everything is about God. God is the center of everything. And then we can watch. When we do that, we will watch how He will use the body in our life to speak to us, to minister to us, and to accomplish His purpose in us. He uses the body to accomplish His purpose in you. That's His method. If you're stepping outside of the body, to discover God's purpose for you and to you and God. It's me and God. No. It is that. Yes, it is that. And like I said before, there are those days you need to get away from everything and away from everybody. Maybe even weak. But God accomplishes His purpose in you through this thing that looks so fragile and weak. But what will endure for eternity? The body. And He uses you to accomplish His purpose in your family, in the church, and in the world when you are rightly connected to the body. Now, other things can give you a feel for what only the church can do. Other things can give you the same feel. The camaraderie of a team or a group. And we watched that Ladder 49 on what night? Is that Friday night? And it was good. As Randy pointed out, they could have done away with all the drinking and corrals than they did. But there was a camaraderie with those guys. That was definitely an appeal to that, to what they had together. They had a single mind in their purpose and in their sacrifice together. And it had a feel for something that is good. But it's not the church. The church is where we must get those things. Extended family has that feel. You know, if you have a great big family and you're always doing stuff with your family and there's just, you know, there's just such a comfort, I mean, a relaxed thing, you know, with your blood, brothers and sisters. Well, I hope there is with you. There is with me. And certainly there is with Lori and her family. And it's just nice, you know, and it just has this good feel to it. So it has the feel. There are other things. There are clubs. And there are even churches that are not really pursuing the head that can give you that same feel of camaraderie. But not with the passion of truly following the head. And that is what it's about. Which is why we are digging into this series. We, as a body, want to take on God's purposes, no matter the cost. You know, if God... We like to use extravagant things, or I guess I do, to make a point, you know, but it really, if God calls us to plant a church in Turkey, and somebody's got to go, then somebody's got to go. And somebody's got to take a risk. Somebody's got to take a chance. But it may not be that. It may be something that is much more benign, but it still requires the same sacrifice. It always does when we follow God's purposes. But when we bump into God, when we walk with Him, we never, ever come away with less. When Moses was coming off the mountain, and he said, "But God, if Your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." God said, "I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll be your strength. Rest in me. Allow me and watch what I do." And that's what He says to us. But it's not alone. It's fully vested, both feet in, fully committed to the purpose and even the methods of the body. So we want to find out how to take on God's purpose and His power and do it in His way. And so we'll revisit some things, we'll specific things, the structure of the church, our specific purpose of the body and our specific method. And do we need to change? What do we need to do? Where's God taking us? You know, we'll look at those things. I got some ideas. And hopefully you do too. Well, I'm done.